Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football headline.
Friday, welcome in. Glad to have you on board as we head toward a weekend without a lot of college football. Good to have you on the show today. The Heisman ceremony tomorrow night, we'll get into that a little bit. We'll take your phone calls. Let's start with a few headlines. Another lawsuit as the NCAA tries to stay alive. New antitrust suit on behalf of athletes seeking pay for play. Yeah, you heard Charlie Baker the other day, and now you probably know why. Trying to mitigate the legal monster. Coaches are complaining about the portal.
No.
Mark Stoops, has he ever complained about anything?
No.
And Dabo, who has he ever stopped complaining about
no.
something? There you go.
The answer's still no.
The answer remains no. So this headline in the Washington Post, college football coaches are begging fans for NIL money. Does it work? Interesting concept. Jesse Daugherty with that article. And Jesse, thank you so much for the time. There was a time when you couldn't give a T-shirt to a recruit. Now you're according to what you said and common knowledge, fans are being badgered by coaches for money. Good afternoon. Explain it all.
Thanks for having me. So basically under the current economic model in the NIL world of college sports, the way that these teams can swim instead of sink in the transfer portal is to basically put their hand out to donors and the average fan and ask for money and say, we need you to help us build our roster. We need you to retain players. We can't do it ourselves in this current structure that obviously could change at any moment. But what we're seeing is coaches in the past month have been constantly going on their own radio shows and press conferences. If they're teed up with the letters NIL or the word transfer, you can bet the next thing that comes out of their mouth is, we need money for our collective. We need you to give. And there are a lot of people in this world that have accepted this as the only avenue right now for these colleges and these coaches to retain players. But they certainly don't think it feels good or that it makes a lot of sense, especially since in a lot of cases, these coaches are the highest paid players or highest paid employees, rather, in their state. And here they are asking the average fan to help them build their team. It's a bit screwy.
Yeah, I remember it was about six or eight weeks ago, Georgia just destroyed Kentucky on the field. And that next Monday night, Mark Stoops on his radio show pretty much saying, hey, we only have one route to stop them, and that's for you to give money. And it was pretty controversial. How is it working?
Yeah, I mean, I think in some ways NIL and this collective world and this donor world that we're now in is giving coaches a public out or sort of a public way to sort of pass off losses on someone else instead of, you know, themselves. Because, you know, before when this was bag men and when it was boosters, you know, behind the scenes, you couldn't say, you know, our guys aren't giving us enough money. You couldn't just go say that in a press conference, whereas now it's just commonplace. But what I found reporting this story is that it actually is working pretty well, at least in this cycle. And I think if this model went on for 2, 3, 4 years, maybe donors would get fatigued. But at least in this instance, you know, Washington State's coach asked for money and their collective saw a boom in donations. Same thing happened at UConn. Same thing happened at NC State. You've seen it all over where these collectives now are advertising the amount of one-day donations they were able to solicit or the amount of memberships they were able to add. So as a fundraising technique, the coach going out publicly and saying, please give to this collective is actually pretty reliable. I just don't think it necessarily has lasting power. I don't think it's a sustainable model for fans every year to open up their wallets and say, we're gonna give money so UConn can keep this receiver, or we're gonna give money so Washington State can go from 5 wins to 6. Like, it's gonna be hard to keep these people on the hook. But it's just that we're not far into it to the point where that fatigue is set in. So this time around, at least, it actually was a viable strategy.
Yeah, Jesse, I've often wondered, there's We're not talking about billionaires here. We're talking about fans. They want to do what they can, but they're also having to buy tickets. They're paying licensing fees. If they have enough money, maybe they're giving a couple of dollars to whatever department they were a student in. I realize you don't have the answer, but I'm interested in your opinion of who's somebody's getting hurt by this money being thrown at players coming and going.
I mean, it's true because there's a finite amount of resources, right? I mean, in any college sports ecosystem, whether that's among donors, whether that's among schools, whether it's even, you know, TV dollars, you know, that can feel limitless, but eventually that ends too. So in the NIL space, I would say, you know, I can't back this up with hard numbers, but there's school donations, athletic department donations certainly have to go down, because if you think of the people that are going to donate money to a collective, who are going to donate meaningful money to a collective, they're probably the same people over the years the athletic department has solicited to improve facilities, to foot the bill for various things that maybe have helped the athletic experience across the board, not just football, basketball, women's basketball, and the major sports. Maybe have created a better, you know, weight room or a cafeteria that's used by all the athletes. So I think that in a lot of these cases, a lot of the big money is concentrated in the most forward facing sports, in the highest money sports, in the revenue grossing sports, and the people who are going to lose out are the athletes at those smaller teams, because when less money is going to university, that money is subject to Title IX. That money is subject to, they have to actually spread that evenly across men's and women's programs, to their smaller programs to some degree. The collected money right now, whether it's football, men's basketball, people are giving donations specifically to, let's try and retain this top quarterback. Let's try and build a basketball roster for this year's March Madness run. And that's not to say that's bad, because in a lot of ways that means the players are getting what has long been, you know, owed to them, I believe. And I think that a lot of people believe that too. But the way in which it's being funneled is that there is probably less money at the end of the day going to university and therefore trickling down to those smaller sports. It's just it's a free market. So, you know, if you're one of those bigger sports and that's what you demand, that's how this is working right now. But there certainly are unintended consequences of it, I think, across the board.
Jesse, you work for one of the preeminent newspapers in the world. The respect for that newspaper is standalone. So I ask you, I say all that to ask you, how do you go about covering this beat? Because there's so much happening, but it's also, you know, very confusing and complicated.
I appreciate the question, Paul. I started in it about 6 weeks ago. So if you have any suggestions for how I can go about
sure.
it, we're still in the stages of figuring that out. I think that one of the words I just said, though, is really key. I think unintended consequences is probably at the top of my sort of mission statement, if I have one. It's that, you know, there are a lot of good things that have happened in college sports in the last 3 years to put more resources, to get more money to the players, to sort of equal out things. But that doesn't mean that everyone's winning, or it doesn't mean that every athlete across sports, whether it's male or female, big or small sports, all these different things, it doesn't mean that it's being applied evenly or that everyone's coming out okay. So I think that for us, we want to cover the weird, we want to cover the interesting, we want to cover things that people turn out to our website to read, but also we want to make sure that we're sort of looking at this with a discerning eye. And as money just skyrockets, as this industry and this world keeps booming and booming and booming, I think it's worth asking, okay, who's left out? Who's not getting a slice of this pie? What developments could lead to the sort of the rug being pulled out from this industry? And then who would be affected by that? And there's a lot of different ways to get at that. I come from the baseball world, and it's a little smaller. The college sports beat's a sort of expansive space, so I'm learning a lot too. But yeah, hopefully, you know, I can come back on here soon, 6 months or so down the line, I can have a better answer for you, because we'll have been in it a bit longer.
Jesse, anything we can do in the future to help confuse you more, we are here anytime you call. Hey, thank you very much. Just a fantastic conversation and an intriguing journey you have ahead. We'll talk to you hopefully when you write your next piece. Jesse, joining us from the Washington Post. We are not done because we've only just begun. That was a song from a few years ago. Ben Portnoy has been covering and being part of the SBJ conference out in Vegas, where you saw the president of the NCAA and all the commissioners. He interviewed the commissioners. We'll talk to him. Steve Berkowitz from USA Today on the lawsuit, and Gentry Kirby on a Heisman race that Tennessee fans do not want to remember later in the show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Great to have you with us. And it's time for that segment called Let's Go to the Phones. Terrell is up next in Georgia.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum.
Hello.
I called you Wednesday and we talked a little bit. I made those points about four things the playoff committee did that they'd never done before.
Right.
Remember that?
I do remember that call, yes.
Yeah. And then I asked about the analyst that was questioned about that. And they said something very contradictory. They said, well, the committee, their job is to get the four best teams in the playoff. And that's what they did. Then you asked that same analyst in the next breath, well, do you think Georgia's one of the four best teams? And they say, yeah. Well, how can you be both ways? Either they got it right or they didn't. And I like for you, when you're on your show, you get access to talk to these people. Ask them that question and see how they justify their answer for it.
Well, you make a good point, because I've heard the same people say they got it right, say what you just got through saying. There is a contradiction there, but I think it depends on what you're talking about. I don't hate to sound like one of these university presidents trying to equivocate, but ultimately, they never get it right, because they never put the four absolute best teams in. They put a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Why don't they just say they did the only thing they could do? I can live with that, you know. And they didn't put the four best teams in. Just say it.
Well, but
you know?
here's the inherent problem, Terrell, is that we only speak to one person. We speak to that Boo guy, the chairman. And if they would make other people available, we might get some insight. You know, when a trial ends, the jury walks out and the media attempts to talk to the jury. Now, for a high profile case, the jurors usually sell their story to Current Edition or some tabloid. But That's perfectly game. I've sat in trials where the judge will tell the jury, you're not obligated to talk to the media, but you're also not prohibited from it. So do whatever you want. We can't talk to these people. And I'm not going to rail, because I've already done it this week, but that to me is the flaw in the system. It's inequitable. We have no idea what goes on. We have no idea. And that's wrong. And if they could come out and tell us, hey, listen, here's where we were, here's why we did it, what else could we say? But we have plenty of questions to ask. Now, I'm not suggesting a Senate hearing like Rick Scott, I'm not suggesting a lawsuit like Ron DeSantis. I'm just simply offering an opinion, like the host of this show. So let's get some intelligent callers.
Hey, Senator Hagin, I'm sorry I'm calling lately. I've been in a lot of pain, but it's passed.
Hold on. Stop right there. Slow down. Yep. What do you mean you're in a lot of pain? What does that mean?
Basically, the pressure came back where I could go to the bathroom, but the pain wouldn't go away.
What pain are we talking about here?
Like when I go number one.
Oh, urinary tract pain.
Yes.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, you have been to a urologist, is that right?
Yes, and they can't find anything. My mom chooses to go
back. What have they done, Matt? What kind of tests have they given you?
Last time I had to get a catheter put in me three different times.
Okay. And by the way, if anyone out there has had one catheter, let alone three, you're screaming in pain right now. You got it?
The third time I had a catheter in me, it hurt like heck. It took out, and I've been dealing with this. It passes after a while. My mom has to give me gummies from, like, Colorado. It's legal, the weed there, and it helps get rid of the pain. And I had to deal with the rash, so all that finally went away.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm calling your show lately.
Okay, so Matt, I'm trying to help you. I've been to a urologist. I know some. I'm trying to, maybe we can die. Mm-hmm. Randy, can you help us diagnose this issue? So what do they think? Are they thinking it may be kidneys? Or are they thinking it could be?
He put that camera up there first time. He said he saw a little redness, nothing really bad, no kidney cells, no nothing like that.
Okay.
It was a Lubbock.
I mean, you're simply too young to have, maybe it's a prostate issue. I mean, you're kind of young for that.
Maybe,
but
I don't know, Paul. I know my health is good.
Have they examined your prostate?
Honestly, I don't know yet if they've done that. No.
Well, that's you. By the way, you would know if they did.
I know they took a camera up there last time. It wasn't.
No, that's not how they examine. That's not how that is examined.
Oh, I didn't know, man. I honestly don't know. I'm trying to get my health issues under control, but I want to see you someday.
Okay.
Maybe if I get a girlfriend, you can meet her too someday.
How is your girlfriend? Is your girlfriend helping you through this?
No, I don't have what I said. If I do get a girlfriend someday.
Oh, if you got a girlfriend.
She's the
okay.
first one you're going to get to meet.
Okay.
But I want to talk to you about what Dabo Sweeney is complaining about in A&M. Man, I don't get why Dabo wants to complain. He's not going to be there for long, Paul. He's going to get fired. He's too rigid. He doesn't want to change his ways. If he doesn't get with the Joneses, he's going to be left behind. So shut up, Dabo. Now I'll get what's the whole thing with Mark Stoops. But I think our coaches should be hired. Is it better approval on Jimbo Fisher? My thing I want to ask you, what do you think is the first year that Matt Gecko needs to have to where the fans can go, okay, this was the right decision? Like, what kind of record do you think he needs to finish with this year?
Well, I don't think there's a number right now because I don't know what their schedule, how it looks. We'll find out next Wednesday night. But I think Mike Elko has a lot of support. I don't think he has to do anything other than try to hold on to some recruits, get some recruits in there, get some good coaches, and take this program in the right direction. Thank you very much for the call, Matt. We'll see what we can do. We're going to... It does sound like a kidney stone. I had that 4 years ago, and it nearly did me in. I'm laughing now. Why don't we, if we want to scare people, we would show somebody going through what Matt just described. Oh man, I'm struggling just thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm hurting already.
I am. Bash is up next. The Bash brothers, Matt and Bash.
You gotta be kidding me. I gotta follow that, Paul. It is what it is. How are you doing today?
Okay.
That's great to hear. Thanks for a great call yesterday, Paul. I thought about yesterday coming on this show and going, like, Paul, what a travesty that Jalen Milroe got snubbed from the Final Four selection of the Heisman Trophy ceremony. And it's like, what is the point? Even if I wanted to come on the show and pontificate my point of view of why he deserves to be there,
It's not like it's going to do anything. And the same thing needs to apply to these Florida State supporters who want to come on the show and advocate saying this is a travesty to the sport. And it makes no sense because it's like, it's not going to do anything. And it's like, are you going to be mad about this in a month from now? 2 months from now? 6 months or even a year? No, because all of this is going to be fixed next year when we go to a 12-team playoff. And if the answer to all those questions is yes, you need to look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself more issues that you have currently going on.
Thank you so much for the call. Stacy is up next.
Paul Feinbaum, what's up on this Friday, man?
Stacy.
Man, Paul, who was that, Max or Matt?
Matt.
When he said that, the only thing, Matt, the only thing I said was, ouch, ouch. Ouch!
Yeah,
man.
Listen, if you didn't say ouch, you've never been through it.
Paul, how does it feel to be in studio this Friday, man?
Interesting. First time we've been here since August on a Friday afternoon. It feels weird because we should be out last two Fridays. I've seen you.
Well, yeah, that's right, Paul. And
I will say one thing: it's a lot warmer inside than it is outside.
Tell me about it, Paul. Well, at least this Saturday, ain't nobody gonna get beat by Alabama, so it shouldn't be too.
That
bad.
Is true.
Talk to you, Paul.
I guess that was the end of the call. We'll take a short break. We've had urology questions. We've had climatology questions. Psychology questions. Scientology.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome all of you back. And Kathy is up next in Georgia. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. It's been a while since I've called because I knew that we at Georgia was going to win all our games. Even though we didn't win the SEC championship, we beat ourselves. Alabama didn't beat us. And we're not crybabies. We don't cry. We go back and go back to work. We will be back next year. And I just hope that everybody has a good weekend. And I enjoy the show. I watch it or tape it every day and listen to it. But I just want John to cry in his own self, not about us Georgia fans, because we're not crying.
Thank you very much. Jay is up next.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. Oh, Kathy, give me a break. Y'all didn't beat yourselves. We beat y'all. Paul, I want to talk about these Georgia fans anyway. Besides her, I think she's probably the only one that's called in lately. We as Bama fans, we listen to y'all run y'all's mouth all year long. Daryl, you, and a bunch of other regular callers. I can't believe how poor sports y'all are. When our team loses, the majority of our fans will still call in. But when y'all lose, y'all won't even call in. I love Kirby Smart and respect him and the program he's built. But y'all Georgia fans, as legend would say, can kiss the ring. Roll Tide.
Ooh, There you go. You're right. Dylan is in Pensacola. Hello, Dylan.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, man?
Very well. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, man, I'm a long-time listener. First-time caller. I actually grew up in Birmingham. I've been listening to your show now probably since I was about 8 years old. And funny story, I used to actually not like it. I'd always be like, Dad, what are you listening to all that talk radio? And now I can't get enough of it.
How could it be a good show if your dad's listening?
Exactly. And my granddad's, they all love it. And now I'm 23 and I love it. I listen to it every day. But, Paul, I got a couple questions for you. Do you think the outrage would be as much if it wasn't Alabama? Is it really that big of a problem if it wasn't Bama that got in the way that we did?
You know what? I think you have just broken the code here, Dylan. And besides, it's what people don't like, preferential treatment. People don't like when certain entities always catch all the breaks. So I think part of that is Alabama. But you know what most of the outrage is? It's fake. I don't believe 99% of the people who have spewed nonsense here and elsewhere believe a word they're saying. But they hate Alabama. They hate the success of Alabama. They hate Alabama fans. So they just go through the motions. They get it off their chest. We all do it. I mean, we'll be somewhere and we hear about somebody who may be less fortunate and we all say, oh, that's just too bad. And they go, hey, I'll have a drink. I mean, it's human nature. I said this the other morning and I got criticized for accusing everybody of fake outrage. My outrage was real. Theirs was fake, right?
Exactly. And what I think too, Paul, what gets me so upset is you have these people on ESPN that don't even cover college sports you do and certain analysts do. And they're mainly watching pro sports all year round. And they want to come around and act like their opinion is just such this, you know, like people who just don't even watch college football. And they're like, oh, it's
Kansas. Yeah, I mean, I was somewhere this morning and I had not seen this friend of mine in a week. And she told me, she said, oh, I just felt so badly for those kids on Florida State. And I'm like going, are you out of your mind? I didn't say that, of course. She held some barbells in her hand.
Very annoying. But, Paul, I also played – I had another quick question for you. I played football at Troy University from 19 to 2022. I actually just graduated last year. What do you think about these rumors with John Summerall going to Tulane?
I think they're true. According to a number of people, he is going to take over for Willie Fritz. I think it's a good job. I think his name came up a couple weeks ago when Mark Stoops was being mentioned at A&M. I think he very well could have been the Kentucky coach. I think the only question I would have for John is, did you move too quickly? Is Tulane really where you want to be? I think he should have hung on there another year or two and gotten an SEC job.
I agree, Paul. That was very, I played with him. I played for him for 1 year and I also played for Chip Lindsey, but. You know, I was very shocked to see that he went to Tulane that quick. I thought it was going to be a much bigger job than that.
I've always been told and by agents and is don't take a bad – I'm not saying Tulane's a bad job, but it can be a bad job very quickly. And Willie Fritz was unique, but there's no guarantee the next person will be.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for your time today, Paul. You. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I mean, there is a history of coaches who have made mistakes going and taking the wrong job, and they are out of the industry as head coaches so quickly. It's hard to make up for a disaster. Now, sometimes you get a second chance, but very rarely you do. Is that the case? Roger is up next in Texas. Hello, Roger.
Hello, Paul. I'm off and on listening to your show and everything. I got a couple of observations on this whole Florida State observation stuff. I think the committee used Florida State as a scapegoat. And one of the reasons I think so, what would have been the outrage if they would have left Georgia and Alabama out of the playoff and put Florida State and let's say any of the other teams, say Oregon or something like that. If this is an outrage that our people are saying about Florida State, what would have happened if they would have?
Yeah, it would have been worse. With all due respect, Florida State's just not that important, Roger. I mean, I know they think they are, but they're not. They're not Alabama. They're not Georgia.
Well, yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, what
if
they would have left?
If you'd left Alabama out, it would have been 100 times bigger than the only thing you wouldn't have had is you wouldn't have had all the people sitting in the corner going, oh, my, what a tragedy. They would have said, hey, they deserved it. They lost the game.
Okay, now, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
another observation. Okay, the reason the committee said that Florida State wasn't invited was because of the quarterback being injured. Now, let's say of the four teams that played in their conference championship, what if the starting quarterback for all four teams while they were playing got injured in the first series of play, a la Aaron Rodgers? What team would have been included in the playoffs if the quarterback wasn't available to be for the playoffs?
Yeah, that's a fair question. In terms of it would have depended, but Roger, that's where I think a lot of this got off the rail when the committee blamed it on the quarterback. I wish they had told the truth that the ACC is not in the same stratosphere as the SEC, but they didn't want to say that. They didn't want to hurt the folks in the ACC's feelings.
But they still went ahead and did it by leaving Florida State out.
Well,
though.
They did, because I think ultimately they knew there is this preconceived notion that the SEC has an automatic bid. They do not, but they should, and they will next year. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
855-242-7285.
And welcome back as we continue to take your phone calls. John is up next, Coleman, Alabama.
Paul, do you remember Art Bell?
I sure do. The guy was on the middle of the night, crazy guy. Used to talk to UFO people.
What he did is he kept truck drivers awake all through the night. You could, in the 80s and 90s, you couldn't find a truck driver that didn't know and listen to Art Bell, because he was so fascinating. All these conspiracy theories. I mean, UFOs, ghosts, paranormal, everything. As a kid, I used to sneak up in the middle of the night, hide from my parents and listen to Art Bell and listen to all these conspiracy theories. Listening to all these Georgia fans and their conspiracy theories about biased officiating got me thinking about Art Bell. And there literally are thousands of fans all over Twitter and online really saying that the SEC had biased officiating. And I got to thinking about that, Paul. If the SEC really was in the middle of a conspiracy to get a winner here, don't we think it would be Georgia?
Yeah, I mean, was Georgia, John, I'm glad you brought that up. Having spent a few days in Atlanta a week ago, the best case for the SEC was Georgia. It was automatic. And not only was it automatic, it was the number one seed in New Orleans convenient for everyone in the SEC Bowl. That's considered our bowl. So they would have tried to do everything they can to protect Georgia. In fact, the questionable calls in the game went against Georgia.
Exactly. I mean, if the SEC were really trying to hose someone, it was going to be Alabama. The Georgia was the only shoe in. It would have cost the SEC millions. It would have cost ESPN millions probably in interest if there were no SEC team. You know, the reality is, Paul, and look, I'm a Bama fan, but when I watch that game, and like most Bama fans, I've watched that game two or three times now. Bama surprised everybody. Bama was blowing them off the line, and that's the thing that we have not seen Georgia face in the last 3 years. No one has gone up and blown them off the ball like Bama did. And did you notice the 5 interceptions they dropped? I mean, the reality is Bama played them well, and no question, I think those are the top 2 teams in the country. But to say that it was conspiracy, to say that the whole game was based on that one supposed drop on 4th down. And Paul, what people aren't doing is giving Jalen Milroe any credit for a quick snap either. Because if you notice, you go back and watch that, they snapped that ball really quick. I think they knew it would be close. And you got to give the guys credit for a heads up play and pulling a little Peyton Manning and getting up there and snapping the ball real quick.
Well said. Hey, John, thank you very much. No, it was the second part of that is that, yes, if Alabama won, there was a slight chance Georgia would get in, but that was only predicated on FSU and Texas losing. But by the time the SEC championship game began, Texas had already won. Jonathan is in Georgia. Hello, Jonathan.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great.
I got a question for you. Big dog fan here, but I want to ask your opinion on how Michigan gets in when they cheated. What's your thoughts?
Well, you're going to force me, John, to do something I'd rather not do, but I will, and that's defend Michigan.
Okay.
They are accused of a sign-stealing scandal. The head coach was suspended for 3 games by the Big Ten. There, right, as of this moment, is no hard evidence linking Harbaugh to the crime, but we've only seen
there's a sliver of the evidence. There's no evidence, but he got punished.
Well, there's no evidence. He got punished because ultimately, according to Big Ten policy, he is responsible whether he knew about it or not. So at this moment, and I'm using a lot of qualifiers, we don't know for a fact that he did it, but we also don't know that he didn't because we've only seen about a percentage of all the evidence that ultimately the NCAA will have.
Right. So why let him in?
Well, I would argue that the only person that should not have been allowed to participate would have been Harbaugh, but that was already cleared up. So I have no problem with them being in, and if they win, they win. That's fine with that's just part of the deal. It might get taken away one day, but they are eligible to go out there and try to win.
Right, right. And same as Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe I had to say something nice about Jim Harbaugh, but I'm a good guy, right? Please support me on that.
Yes.
Steve is up next. When I say I'm a good guy, I want you to say, yes, you are.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, you are a good guy. Steve is up next in Tulsa.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Steve.
Hey, OU had 9 games this year that kicked off at 11 a.m. Do you think they can get away from some of that early scheduling next year?
Guaranteed, because that was part of the Fox deal and some other deals. But, yeah, when you're in the SEC with all the packages that the SEC controls, then you will be rotated, and Oklahoma is too valuable to use. The noon game is successful because Fox was really the only – the ESPN did a little bit, but Fox put its best game in noon. The SEC put its best game in the afternoon. and other leagues put their best game at night. So yeah, OU will be all over the place.
Well, that's a lot better. I think they're maybe the only team this year that had 9:11 a.m. kickoffs.
Yeah, no, it's unfair. But Steve,
ridiculous.
Remember one thing too. The league was trying to screw you guys over. You know that.
Yeah, but as far as any officiating, it was terrible. The Stillwater referees put their team in the Big 12 championship game.
Well, Steve, you are going to be treated a lot better in your new league as opposed to your old league. And I've been to a number of we did a number of games this year that were 11 or 12 o'clock starts. There is a difference. 12 o'clock in Kentucky is different than 11 o'clock in Ole Miss. I realize it's the same time, except it's an hour earlier because of Central versus Eastern, but those 11 o'clock games just feel way, way too early for my taste. Andy is in Fort Lauderdale. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Paul. Happy Hanukkah. I got an interesting point to make. The best thing that happened to Alabama this year for Jalen Milroe was the fact that Alabama didn't pony up to get TVD out of Miami.
You're right. They wanted him initially.
They wanted him bad. Tommy Reese wanted him. It was all over the papers down in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, I wanted to bring up one thing with Florida State, and it has to do with Miami. You'll probably remember this. Remember back in 2000 when they had the computers?
Oh, yeah.
And Miami beat Florida State, and somehow the computers put Florida State in the championship game instead of Miami? Well, what Miami did, and I'm not even a Miami fan, but I'm just going to your point about how FSU was crying, Miami went to the Sugar Bowl and beat the hell out of Florida instead of asking for...
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.